Well, it's that time. It's time to get started. We start on time and quit on time. Good to see you tonight. We're glad all of you are here. We'll continue our study about prayer. What I did last Sunday, I jumped ahead on a little bit. I'm backing up to point number 3. What I want to look at tonight. What I ask you to do is to read each of these passages and note what the passage tells us to pray for. What should we pray for? There are people evidently that just pray for anything and everything, regardless of what it is or whether they need it or don't need it. But the scriptures place emphasis particularly on things to pray for. Anybody need a copy of material? Anybody need a copy? All right, point number 3. The first one I've listed for you is Matthew 5:44. Point number 3. Jesus is talking in this passage in Matthew 5, and he says this. In 43, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. He said, you've heard it said. When the Bible says that you've heard it said, what does he refer? When did that happen? Old Testament. And so in this particular section, he's kind of contrasting some things that they did in the Old Testament. Like, for example, the Old Testament had an eye for an eye and a what? A tooth for a tooth. You hit me in the eye, guess what? I hit you in the eye. But that's all changed in the New Testament. It's not that way anymore. But Jesus said, but I say to you, in verse 44. What did Jesus say about it? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And what? Debbie?
Pray for those that despitefully.
Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So I suggest to you that the Bible indicates we need to pray for our enemies. Those that would misuse you. And those that persecute you. That's hard to do. It's not easy sometimes to do what the Lord says do, but evidently it can be done, or he would not have told us to do it. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And there are a lot of people who don't mind doing that, by the way, who don't mind using you or misusing you. And then he said in verse 45, the reason for that is that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, that's a characteristic of the Lord's people, praying for those that would misuse you. In Matthew 26 now, the second one. Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and what?
Pray.
That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Things to pray about. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've mentioned to us a number of times that how many men are we?
Two men.
Outward man and the inner man. Remember that? 2 Corinthians 4. He talks about the outward man is perishing, but the inner man is what?
Come on.
Renewed, right, John? Renewed day by day. And so we are two men, the outward man and the inner man. Man is composed of two parts. Our art.
Yes, spiritual and physical.
Yeah, physical and spirit. Body and spirit. When God made us in the beginning, in Genesis 2:7, it says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became what?
A living soul.
A living soul. And so we're two parts. And so he said that the spirit is willing, the inner man, but the flesh is weak, comparing the outward man and the inner man again. But anyhow, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation's everywhere, all around us. And who was the first people ever tempted? Mabel. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God placed them in the garden to keep it, to dress it. Said you'd need all these trees except what? Yvette.
Yeah. What a freaking
apple.
I'm sorry.
I tell you, the problem is not an apple, it's the pear on the ground. I don't believe y'all got that. It's the pear on the ground that caused the problem. You getting that? Some of you did. We don't know what kind of tree it was of that, do we? It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die.
Tree of life.
The devil came along. What did he say, Howard?
Said they could eat of it.
He says, you won't die.
Yeah.
You won't die. And they were tempted. Eve was in the temptation by three avenues. Maybe what was the first one? Who knows?
Lust of the eye.
Pride of life.
Lust of the flesh.
1 John 2:15 says that. That we're tempted one of those avenues. The lust, what you see? Lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. That's the only avenues the devil uses to tempt people. Right? Who's another example of person being tempted, Greg, in the Bible? Through those same avenues, by the way.
Jesus.
Angela? Jesus was, wasn't he? In Matthew chapter 4, how long had he been fasting, Anne?
40
days and 40 nights. He was hungry. That's a good time to tempt a fellow, you know, if he hadn't eaten for 40 days, don't you think, maybe? And he said, if you be the Son of God, cast these stones into what? Bread. And so he tempted him through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He said, jump off this high place, you the Son of God. And he said, see all these kingdoms? I give them to you if you fall down and worship me. So again, the devil used these avenues of temptation to tempt our Lord. How did Jesus overcome that temptation? Let me see, who wants to answer that?
Isaac.
Go ahead, Isaac.
He said, it is written.
It is written. Good. It is written. What does that mean?
What is scripture?
What scripture? Old or new?
That thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God.
Okay. When the Bible says it is written, where is it always written, Debbie?
In the Bible.
The Old Testament.
Old Testament.
Old Testament.
Old Testament. Right? Always that way. And he quoted a passage every time he was tempted from the Old Testament. That's one of the best ways to overcome temptation, by the way, is to be so familiar with the scripture, like the back of your hand, that when something arises like that, you can recall a passage that will help you overcome the temptation. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. I've hid the word where? In my heart.
That I'll
not sin against thee. Hide the word in your heart. Here's the Bible heart. Not here. That's the blood pump. There's a heart that thinks and loves and obeys. You know that by now, surely. Okay. And so he said, pray that you enter not in temptation. And so when you think about things to pray for, that's one of them. Okay? In Luke 6:28. Anything you want to ask about the temptation? Luke 6:28. What does Luke 6:28 say about praying? Well, we'll see. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which what? Despitefully use you. That's kind of like the first one we looked at in Matthew 5:44. Pray for them which despitefully use you. What word do you see in that word? Despitefully.
Mistreat
or revile. Yeah. And also you see the word spite. A lot of people do things for spite. You know anybody like that? You may know somebody like that. I guess all of us do. Have folks like that, and we just have to pray for them, I guess. In Luke 10:2, we looked at things about praying for. Luke 10:2. Jesus is sending the people out to do some teaching. And he said in verse 2, the harvest truly is what? Great. When the Bible talks about the harvest, is he talking about reaping corn or wheat or something like that? No. Talking about people that need to be what? Taught and converted. Yes, good. The harvest is truly great. That's where it used to be, right? Ann? That's where it used to be.
Used to be.
I want to see how you respond. Go ahead.
There's more harvest out there now.
It still is. And changed. More people probably. How many people live in this country? United States? How many million?
320 million.
300 some odd million.
How can they keep that?
Think of that.
Census.
Yeah. 300 some odd million people in the United States. You know how long it would take to teach every one of them?
One by one.
Well, we'd learn on an individual basis. Surely. How many times do you think the gospel would have to be repeated?
One time.
For no more than for all those people to hear.
Six times.
A lot.
A lot.
About 30 times.
Like
now you think that don't sound good, right? But how's it work, Greg? I mean, I know it and I tell you. I teach you. You know it and you.
Teach someone else.
And? See, it keeps going.
I was referring to Acts when so many of us obeyed the gospel.
Okay. Okay. The harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. That's the problem. The labors. That's the problem. It's hard to get people to labor in the vineyard. It's almost impossible to get anybody to do that. Wonder why? Why don't we do more of that than we are?
No confidence.
Huh?
No confidence.
No confidence in being able to do it? What else? Why people don't do more of this?
On my end, sometimes it's like so many people, you try to express good and you try to give good examples and you try to tell them, like I got someone at work who's having problems. And I've encouraged her several times over the last 6 months to come to church. You know, and she just they just shut you down. After you get shut down over and over and over and over, sometimes you just get discouraged yourself.
Well, you have self-doubt, and then you have people that say, don't throw that religion thing on me. There are so many people that it's easy to get discouraged when you talk to half a dozen people.
You get shot down.
Of course, that's when you get challenged.
And sometimes you get somebody ready to hit you, because I remember a time when the kids were little, we were going around door to door and actually had people that got ordered us out, I mean, out of the driveway. And,
that's okay.
People, you got to be, because, you got to have a lot of moxie to challenge people.
What?
Moxie.
What's that?
Jewish word.
An eye test, I guess.
Sorry. Gumption.
Yeah. Gumption.
Gumption, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't
go know. Ahead, Ann. You're not done, I don't think. Huh?
What I was talking about, but one day last summer I made a comment to some guy, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but it was about the Bible, and all of a sudden he goes, don't preach me, only Jews are being saved. Read the Old Testament. Walked away.
Well, there's some people that don't want to be taught.
No.
That was true in Jesus' day. When he sent the people out to teach, he said, if people don't receive you, do what? Shake what?
Dust
off your feet. What does that mean? Well, go to somebody else that's willing to listen. Anything else? Why don't we do more of this?
Too many distractions.
Too busy. Come in, Miss Distractions. What do you mean by that, John?
Well, we have
TV.
Well, it,
It can be TV, entertainment, Netflix,
Little League,
Facebook.
It's sure nobody's on that.
Little League baseball, Little League soccer, Little League football, Little League track and field. Then you get into high school and you got football and baseball and basketball and soccer and track and field and plays and choruses, and then we got Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, and then then there's of course there's
you gotta sell
cookies.
Vacation, you gotta
take care of all that stuff.
I don't disagree with John. I think that's a problem, but also I see another problem in the churches today.
What's that?
Well, when I was baptized in 1970, we had work groups, and we would go out and sometimes two people together, sometimes more than that. And as I was saying, we would go to knock on people's doors and hand them information and try to, and sometimes they would ask you a few questions, sometimes they'd tell you to get out. But then we had a lot of people coming to our meetings. We mainly do this before a meeting or a Bible class, and we'd have a lot, not saying a lot of people that come were baptized, but a lot of people did come, and you got a lot of doors slammed in your face. I remember one time when my oldest daughter, we was in this guy's garage, and she was looking around, and he said to me, "Get out of here and take that nosy brat with you." So you get slapped a little bit, but the churches themselves are not doing as a group, you know. And you know that, John. You have, in numbers, you feel a little more comfortable if there's two people rather than just one person knocking on the door.
Yeah, when Jesus sent folks out under the limited commission, how did he send them? Two by two.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons for that. So another reason why we're not doing teaching more people. Yes, Howard?
We've gotten lazy over the years, and we want somebody else to do it for us.
Let Johnny do it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the way it's pushed.
So Johnny don't do it. Yes, Lord.
Don't get that.
That's a shame. That's the way a lot of people look at it.
I'd be happy if every 100 persons that I talked to, if one would respond. Now, you'd get discouraged before you got that far, wouldn't you? Can't do that. You got to keep on looking and looking. In the parable of the sower, remember the soil? The seed fell in four different soils, different kind of hearts, on the rock.
The ground.
What?
The ground and thorns.
Thorny ground. What else? What?
Fell in the soil where the tares grew up.
Yeah, that's in the parable of the sower. But only one of that four was productive. It was those that obeyed were the people that had what kind of heart? Honest and good heart. Now you put the seed out there all day long until the soil is right, it's not going to work. I guarantee you. Right? Right? You got to put the seed in the right kind of soil. And we don't know the soil. We don't know whether, when we teach folks, what kind of heart they have. We're not mind readers. So we just have to keep putting the seed where we can, hoping we found it on good and honest heart. Yes, ma'am.
I always look at the fact, because it does get discouraging. It really does. But you look at the fact that you don't know that maybe just something you said to them, maybe they don't take it right then, but they may later on. And so it is just a matter of saying, okay, and just moving on and not trying to take offense to it,
yeah,
or take it personal.
That's right. And sometimes it takes a while. I was in a meeting in Hamilton, Ohio a few years ago, and a fellow came to the meeting, and I found out later he'd been attending there for 30 years with his family who were members, but he had never obeyed the gospel. I was preaching on Monday night, the step of death. And when the sermon was over, here he came. Been coming there for 30 years. They'd all given up on him. You never know how long, what it takes. And circumstances change, by the way, in people's lives. I'll give you a good example. When I was preaching here before, in 1977 to 84, we had a lady who was a member of the Plainfield Church. And her husband, he was a Baptist. He didn't come, wouldn't have anything to do with us. And I'd go out to try to talk to him. He'd go out the back door, wouldn't listen. They didn't want to talk to me. But I happened to be in a meeting down in Kentucky, and during that time, during that meeting, his wife's mother passed away. So they came down to the funeral. I went to the funeral home and talked to him a little bit. So he kind of cool with me. But anyhow, I went to the funeral the next day. Talked to him again. And he had a heart attack while he was there. Put him in the hospital. I went to see him in the hospital. And they flew him back to Indy. So I got back home and went to the hospital to visit with him a little bit. He didn't walk anywhere out the back door because he... Guess what? Anyhow, he's kind of halfway glad to see him in. So he went home, and I went out to see him again. And guess what? I set up a home study with him and baptized him. So you never know. I say that to you to say this. Circumstances in the lives of people change from time to time. So don't give up because you work with somebody and they say, well, I'm not interested. They may be tomorrow. Maybe there's a tragedy in a people's lives. And they have a different disposition then about things. Maybe it's sickness or a death in the family. So don't forget those kinds of things. Harvest is great. The labors are few. That's what I'm trying to tell us, I guess. The next word is pray. That's what we're really after. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. You ever pray about that? Or you just say, hey, they're not interested, and cut them off. Pray about it. That's one thing we can do, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it is.
Pray about it. Lord, send forth some laborers. And give those people a good heart. Open up a door of opportunity that sometime you got. If you don't watch, that door is going to close before you know it. You need to take advantage of it. Okay, Luke 14:19 now. Number 5. Somebody said you had trouble with that one. Did I give you the right passage? Well, I can help you with that. Anybody have trouble there? Well, it's a story of they'd made a feast, a marriage supper. And a man made a great supper and he invited many, and he said, all things are ready, come to the feast. And they began to do what? Mabel?
Make excuses.
That sound familiar? Excuse makers. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I've got to go see it. It's unusual that you'd buy a piece of ground and not see it ahead of time. I pray. There's that praying business. Excuse me. Another bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. Alan, if you're going to buy some horses or cows, would you just go buy them unseen?
No, there is a lot of people that do that, though, over the internet.
I guess
there
they
really
might.
There really is, but no, we wouldn't.
But that's not normal, is it?
No, it's not.
Back especially this day. But he said, I pray thee have me excuse. Another, he didn't say, he just said, I married a wife. That's my problem. Therefore, I cannot come. Excuse me, Lord. I got excuses. Is there something different in an excuse and a reason, you think, Ann?
No.
Think now. Is there anything different between a reason, a real reason, and an excuse? You don't think there is? A real reason and an excuse.
Well, illness, maybe.
You'd have a reason then, wouldn't you?
Reason is justified, yeah.
Yeah, a reason justified. I talked to a fellow who, I was in a meeting, and he was there Sunday and come Monday and Tuesday. I said, hey, I missed you Monday and Tuesday. He said, yeah, my cat was sick. I said, they do have 9 lives. Is that a reason or excuse, you think?
Excuse.
You think the cat would have been all right for an hour or so?
Yep.
Maybe, Greg?
Probably.
Probably would. One lady said, I don't think I'll probably be there Sunday. I'll probably have a headache. I thought maybe the Lord will bless her with a good one. But anyhow, people pray. Lord, excuse me. I'm not sure when we come to judgment day, the Lord's going to accept excuses for our not doing what he expects us to do. Anything you want to say about the excuses? Come with me to Luke. Yeah, John?
Pray for
us. Yeah, pray for us. That's about all you can do. In Luke 16. Somebody have trouble with that one? Well, this is a story of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that? There was a certain rich man. Now, this is not a parable. I say that to you because if you were to talk to the Jehovah's Witness group, they call this a parable because they don't believe that you live after death. They think when you're dead, the wicked die, you're annihilated. You're gone. But anyway, rich man Lazarus. Lazarus laid at his gate full of stores, designed to be fed with crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is an expression that describes the good part of the Hadean world, where there's rest and peace. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. Now, if you've got another version other than the King James, like an American Standard, it'll not say hell. He'll say what?
Hades.
You have to watch this word hail in the King James Version. And because it's translated hail, it should have been translated Hades. Anyway, Hades is the realm of departed spirits. Everybody who's died is in Hades today. Everybody who's died. Either in peace or torment. Okay? So in hail or in Hades, he lifted up his eyes in torments. And seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, dip your finger in water and cool my tongue, and so on. Verse 25, these people who don't think man has a spirit after life said, Son, remember. They don't like that. How could he remember? See, memory's not wiped out when you die. You're not unconscious after death. He could remember. That now, I'm not saying you know what's going on the earth, but I am saying you remember what you left. This guy did, didn't he? He remembered what? That he had what?
Brothers.
Five brethren. Abraham, what about sending to them? And verse 27, he said, I pray thee that thou would send him to my father's house. Here's a man trying to pray after he died. Can you pray then? And it work? Doesn't work. He wanted to circumvent God's way of converting people anyway. Send somebody from the dead and so that tell them not to come here. Why, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't believe it. And how did he answer that? He said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets. This was during the period of the Old Testament period. They've got Moses and the prophets here. Let them hear them. And today you'd say what?
Got the New Testament.
Got the Word of God to hear. The New Testament. Hear it. If you're not going to hear it, you probably wouldn't hear somebody that came from the dead anyway. So that's what he said. I pray ye. He didn't want his brothers to come there. You know, it's been said that misery loves company. You believe that? You think misery loves comfort? I mean company? Nah, and this guy didn't, did he? He said, I don't want them to come to this place. I've heard people say, if so-and-so goes to hell, I want to go. Surely not. This fellow didn't want them to come there. Well, he said, let's pray about it. Okay, the next one. Acts 8:24. The book of Acts. The book of Acts is a history of the church, its establishment and conversions in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in 8:24, there's a fellow. Who was this fellow? Simon. What's his work? What do you do? He's a sorcerer. Like a magician. He saw the apostles laying on hands, imparting spiritual gifts. That's how those gifts were imparted, by the way. And the wheels got to turning. He thought, now if I just had that power, look what I could do with that. Well, he's not going to get it, is he? Verse 18, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money. You can't buy it, by the way. Not even available today at all. Only the apostles could lay hands on people and impart the spiritual gifts. Nobody else could do that. And it could not be transferred either. Give me also this Father, whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, watch it, your money perish with thee because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Why, what's wrong with it? Your heart's not right. Got a bad heart up here. Then he was told to do two things. Now here's a member of the church who just baptized. Verse 13. He was baptized. Anybody seeing? What does a person who has already been baptized into the church of the Lord do when he sins? Two things.
Repent
and pray, he said. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon said, pray for me. That none of these things happen. So when a Christian sins, he's to pray about it. Confess it unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess it to God, he'll forgive us. And so that's what that's about. Praying that God forgive you when you sin as a Christian. That's the way you stay saved, by the way. Baptism does not remove future sins. Only past sins. Got that one? Verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 13, 7. 13 and 7. Now, I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though ye be as reprobates. Pray that you do no evil. Evil's all around us. One reason the Lord destroyed the world with a flood in the days of Noah was because the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of man was what?
Evil.
Continually. So I decided to destroy man from the face of the earth. So he said, pray that you do no evil. Philippians 1:9. In the church at Philippi. 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Pray that your love may abound. What's the word abound mean? Keep increasing. Growing. Pray about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Those three words make up a person. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And he said, pray. Pray what? That this be preserved blameless, without blame, without anybody having anything against you for which they can blame you for. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray, as that word again, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. What does it mean that the word may have free course?
Spread rapidly.
Yeah, that do its job. That it, free course. That it works. In other words, say you're teaching somebody, you're trying to. Wouldn't it be good to pray, Lord, help the word I'm teaching have free course in these people's lives, that it do its job, that they respect it, they believe it, and obey it. James 5 says pray about something. What do you say pray about?
Sick.
Pray for who?
Sick.
The sick. A lot of people sick, aren't they?
Yeah.
You ever pray for the sick? Yeah. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Prayer. There's great power in prayer. I think sometimes we overlook that. And it goes ahead to talk about the fact the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wonder why people don't pray more. Maybe the same reason we don't teach. All those same reasons might apply. You think maybe too busy, too this, too that, and don't have time, don't know how, or whatever. Romans 10:1. That's the Apostle Paul talking in Romans. He wrote the book of Romans, you know. And when he wrote to the Romans, he said this to them. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer, there's that word again, to God is, for Israel is, that they might be saved. You ever pray that somebody might be saved? Huh? Or do that. No wonder more people not being saved. We don't pray about it enough, perhaps. What does Colossians 1:3 have to do with all this? Colossians 1:3. To whom was the book of Colossians written? Well, what, brethren? The church at Colossae. These books bear out cities. Philippians, Philippi. Ephesians, Ephesus. Colossians, Colossae. These are cities. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying, there's the word, praying. Praying for what? Always for you. You who? You Christians, right? You saints. Verse 2 calls them saints and faithful brethren. He's praying for them. See? Pretty important to do that. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Verse 9. And to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need to do more praying. And James 5:16, scripture that we've already looked at, when he talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes we don't have because we don't, Beth, ask. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Well, I'm going to leave that with you. I've used your time. And when you come back Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to look some more at this conditions of acceptable prayer. Point number 4. Don't forget, in order for God to hear you and grant prayers, you got to meet certain conditions. Not your conditions. God's. We're in no position to tell God anything about how we want things done. We need to meet his conditions in order for prayers to be heard and granted. This is a good section I think you really will like. Conditions of acceptable prayer. And I've listed 10 of them. Good to have you in our study tonight.